Do you want to feel like you have more control over your life? Like each day is making you stronger, more focused, and closer to what you truly want to build? Then engrave this in your mind. Transformation does not begin with a massive change. It begins with order. The Stoics were clear about this. Results are not born from promises for someday, but from the choices you make now. If you don't design your routine, without realizing it, you are designing your own failure. But when your routine has direction, your energy multiplies. When your priorities are defined, your actions carry more weight. And when your actions are sustained with consistency, your results stop depending on luck and become a consequence. In this episode, you will discover 8 Stoic practices that function like daily training. They are not habits to appear productive. They are decisions that temper character. Each one impacts a different area of your life, your time, your discipline, your mind, and the way you stand in front of difficulties. You begin the first one today. The last one will demand more from you, and precisely because of that, it is the one that transforms. Let's begin. 1. Wake up early and conquer every morning of your life. You are capable of getting up earlier, even when the bed feels more pleasant than any responsibility waiting for you out there. The blanket is warm, the room is quiet, and your body begs you, just a few more minutes. But the point was never comfort. The point is control. And every sunrise is a silent test. Who commands whom? Do you direct your impulses, or do your impulses direct you? Marcus Aurelius left himself a simple and powerful reminder. You were not born merely to stay wrapped under blankets. You were born to fulfill your function, and that carries weight, because function means duty. And duty demands movement, not postponement. He was an emperor. He could postpone meetings, delegate tasks, look the other way, and avoid obligations. And yet, in his meditations, he reminded himself that he was here to act as a man, as a ruler, as a Stoic, and as a husband. He understood that the day begins the moment consciousness awakens, and that losing the morning is losing the first opportunity to demonstrate character. When you choose to win your mornings, you are not just waking up earlier. You are telling yourself, "I lead my life." You are affirming that your discipline is greater than your inertia. It is not 10 minutes that change your destiny. It is your posture. Setting your alarm a few minutes earlier than usual is a small gesture, but loaded with meaning. Instead of getting up because you have to, you get up because you decided to. And that difference changes the identity of the one who wakes. Because a repeated choice eventually becomes identity. Hitting the snooze button 2, 3, 4 times may seem harmless, but in those first minutes of the day, you have already trained your mind to delay. And every delay reinforces the habit of yielding. What begins as postponement in bed ends as procrastination throughout the rest of the day. What you do when you open your eyes sets the tone for the hours that follow. The first decision of the day often vibrates through the ones that come next. It is contradictory to swear that tomorrow you will be a better version of yourself, while today you continue feeding habits that weaken your discipline. The future does not give value to promises made by someone who does not respect the present. Organizing your routine is not about copying influencers who live realities different from yours. It is about recognizing what you can adjust within your own circumstances and starting with what you have. Authentic discipline is not an aesthetic for social media. It is daily coherence. It may be getting up a little earlier to move your body, read a few pages of a good book, sit in silence reflecting, prepare a more nutritious breakfast. What matters is not the activity itself, but what it symbolizes. You began the day by decision, not by impulse. And the one who begins the day by decision usually ends it with direction. If it is hard for you, apply simple strategies. Leave your phone away from the bed and force your body to stand up. Small tools sustain great changes because discipline is not born from grand speeches, but from small acts repeated over and over again. But there is something even more crucial. The morning is won the night before. You may not control what happens while you sleep, but you do control what you do before going to bed. Sleeping with your phone pressed to your face, reviewing problems, reliving arguments, going over bills and pending tasks. That keeps your mind on constant alert. And a mind agitated at night wakes up tired, even before getting up. Before sleeping, accept that there are matters that will not be resolved at that moment. Use that time to lower the mental noise, not to increase it. Disconnecting is not irresponsibility, it is preparation. Mastering the mornings is mastering the beginning of your day. And the one who governs the beginning has far more possibilities of directing the rest. The one who wins the first battle rarely walks unprepared into the next ones. To be stoic is that, to take control of the first hours, because it is there that you silently demonstrate who is in command. And that test does not need applause. It needs consistency. 2. Do deep work. Have you noticed how you can spend the entire day busy and still arrive at night with the feeling that you didn't move forward in anything important? You answered messages, handled small tasks, attended meetings, fulfilled commitments. Your schedule was full. But in the end, what was actually built? That's the risk of living on the surface. Repeating is not transforming. Being active is not growing. There is a silent difference between moving and progressing, and many people don't even notice it. Malcolm Gladwell spoke about the 10,000 hours required to master a skill, but what truly changes a person is not just the accumulation of time, it's the quality of attention placed there. You can spend 20 years doing the same thing and remain in the same place, because if there is no intention to improve, the brain switches into autopilot, and autopilot keeps you functioning. But it does not make you evolve. Seneca observed something similar in Rome. People running from one place to another, always in a hurry, always involved in something. But when asked what the real purpose of all that effort was, many didn't know how to answer. He called it busy idleness, living occupied but not committed. Deep work is the opposite. It is choosing a skill, a project, or an area of your life and immersing yourself in it. With full presence. It is reviewing what you did yesterday to do it better today. It is accepting the discomfort of looking at your flaws and correcting them. It is stepping out of comfortable repetition and entering conscious improvement. Imagine someone who writes every day but never rereads what they wrote, never adjusts, never studies technique, never seeks feedback. Years later, they will still be writing the same way. Now imagine someone who writes, analyzes, corrects, makes mistakes, and tries again over and over. In a short time, the difference becomes inevitable. What separates one from the other is not talent. It is depth. The Stoics practiced this inwardly. Marcus Aurelius did not write out of inertia or mechanical habit. He observed himself, examined his failures, confronted his thoughts, and pursued coherence between what he believed and what he did. It was not the quantity of reflection. It was the quality of examination. And that is exactly what needs to enter your routine. Less distraction, more focus. Fewer parallel tasks, more intention. Choose something that truly matters and cut the noise around it. Define a specific block of time. Work without jumping from tab to tab. Without notifications, without fragmenting yourself, because fragmentation weakens reasoning and depth strengthens character. An organized life is not born from doing 1,000 things. It is born from applying intensity to the right things. The one who learns to work with depth stops merely doing and starts building real competence. And real competence produces confidence. And confidence produces freedom. And freedom appears when you understand that you are no longer simply busy. You are evolving. 3. Keep a journal. Have you noticed how a thought repeated over and over begins to feel true, even when it was never questioned? The mind can turn an assumption into a conviction, a fear into certainty, a simple hypothesis into a real threat. And the more you allow those thoughts to spin only inside your head, the more they grow in silence. There are moments when the mind becomes too noisy, ideas pile up, emotions get tangled, and you end up feeling something you can't even clearly explain. It's not only sadness, it's not just anxiety. It's more like a fog, And right there, paper stops being paper and becomes a tool. Writing is not just venting, it is creating order. Maybe you've heard the advice to write a letter when you're upset and wait before sending it. That space of time reveals something powerful. Many emotions seem monstrous while they are blurred. When you make them concrete, they lose part of their force. Marcus Aurelius wrote for himself for nearly 20 years. He did not do it to impress anyone or to publish anything. He did it to monitor himself. He recorded his failures, his temptations, his insecurities. An emperor acknowledging his own fragilities in the silence of the page. That is inner discipline. Paper does not argue, does not condemn, does not interrupt. It simply receives. And in receiving, it forces you to give structure to what was previously scattered. Many times, we do not suffer only because of what happens, but because of the story we tell about what happens. And stories that are never examined end up becoming cages. When you write, something shifts. You step out of emotion and into observation. You step out of reaction and into analysis. You step out of the whirlpool and create distance. And in that distance, clarity appears. Anxieties that felt crushing begin to reveal exaggerations. Fears that seemed definitive show cracks. Ideas you believed were solid begin to contradict themselves when you place them in front of you, in words. What is vague dominates. What is examined weakens. A journal is not just a record, it is a conscious confrontation. You begin to discover that not every thought deserves your trust, that not every insecurity describes reality, that many internal voices exist only because they were never questioned. Anne Frank wrote something simple and true. Paper is more patient than people, and that patience liberates. There will not always be someone available to listen to your doubts without judgment, but you can always create that space within yourself. Writing is building a quiet room inside your own mind. It is training the ability to observe before reacting. It is preventing emotion from controlling decision. It is avoiding letting impulse shape character. The Stoics called this inner examination, and inner examination builds self-control. When you turn confusion into awareness, you regain command. When you organize your thoughts, you also organize your choices. And organized choices build an organized life. It is not about writing beautifully. It is about thinking clearly. And clarity, especially in today's world, is power. 4. Move your body. If we let a little girl or boy choose what to eat every day, they would probably end up picking candy, soda, and everything that provides immediate pleasure. Not because they are bad or irresponsible, but because they have not yet developed judgment. The body, when it is not directed, behaves the same way. It prefers the couch over movement, prefers sugar over balance, prefers comfort now over benefit later. It will always seek the path of least resistance. And when that inclination does not have clear direction, it becomes habit. And a repeated habit becomes a pattern. And a sustained pattern eventually starts to look like destiny. The Stoics understood something essential. Freedom is not doing what you want. It is not being governed by what you want. They did not live guided only by desire, but by duty. They did what needed to be done, even when impulse demanded the opposite. That discipline was not meaningless harshness. It was coherence. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself that he was not born merely to pursue comfort, but to fulfill a role. And that principle does not apply only to the mind, it also applies to the body. Because the body is not just matter, it is an instrument. A disciplined mind rarely flourishes in an abandoned body. Lack of energy weakens decisions. Sedentary habits feed apathy. Excess creates heaviness. What you do with your body is reflected in your mind. The physical reverberates in the mental. Stoicism rests on logic, ethics, and also on physics. There is no complete human development when those dimensions move in separate directions. Thinking well, acting well, and caring for the body are parts of the same construction. It makes no sense to pursue mental clarity while accepting physical inertia as the norm. Moving your body is an act of internal coherence. It is aligning what you think with what you do. And it can be something simple, a 10-minute walk, some stretching, choosing the stairs instead of the elevator. It can be adjusting your diet, reducing excess, replacing the automatic with the intentional. But do not underestimate what is simple, because what matters is not the intensity with which you start. It is consistency. Consistency builds endurance. Endurance builds confidence. And confidence builds mastery. Ask yourself, what can you start today that, repeated for months, transforms not only your disposition but your identity before the year ends? This is not about aesthetics. It is not about a body standard. It is not an empty promise from the internet. This is about respect. Respect for the body that supports your thoughts. Respect for the energy you need to keep your word. Respect for the instrument that carries your life every day. When you choose to move even without motivation, you send yourself a silent message. I am in command, not inertia. And that message shapes character, because physical discipline does not stay in the workout. It enters your day, influences your posture, your nutrition, your emotional resilience, and your ability to tolerate frustration. A body that learns to obey strengthens a mind that learns to lead, and a mind that leads is not a slave to comfort. Choose every day. 5. Read something every day. Have you noticed how easy it is to go through an entire year without truly changing the way you think? Days pass, obligations pile up, conversations repeat themselves, and deep down, the mind remains trapped in the same repertoire. That is the risk of not reading. When you do not nourish your mind with new ideas, it ends up feeding only on what surrounds it: random opinions, fast headlines, fragmented content, and a mind that consumes only what is immediate begins to lose depth. Seneca said that by reading, we extend our life beyond our own time, because every book carries decades of experience compressed into pages. Each author has already gone through doubts, made mistakes, faced inner conflicts, and then decided to organize all of that into structured thought. When you read, you shorten paths. Someone may take 20 years to understand something that you can absorb in 20 minutes of attentive reading. That is not only learning, it is an existential advantage. Marcus Aurelius understood this when he expressed gratitude for having access to the teachings of Epictetus. He did not see reading as intellectual entertainment, but as character formation. And that is the difference. Reading is not about adding pages. It is about adjusting the lens through which you see the world. Without reading, you think only with your limited experiences. With reading, you think with centuries of accumulated reflection. But here the typical mistake appears: waiting for the perfect moment. Next month I'll start. When life calms down. When I have more time. Life almost never slows down on its own. If you wait for total silence to begin, you never begin. Reading does not require free hours. It requires decision. One page a day, 10 minutes in the morning, a few paragraphs before bed. What matters is not the size, it is consistency. And even more important, application. Reading without reflection becomes an accumulation of beautiful phrases. Reading with reflection becomes practical transformation. The Stoics did not read to appear scholarly. They read to become clearer, to strengthen judgment, to expand their capacity to decide. And here, while I write these episodes, it would be impossible to speak with depth without having gone to the source. Without reading Marcus Aurelius directly, without studying Seneca, without understanding Epictetus in his own words. Depth does not come from a summary, it comes from immersion. And when you truly read, something quiet happens. You discover that even an emperor struggled with procrastination, that even a philosopher faced anxiety, that great minds also experienced fear, doubt, and failure. That changes your perspective. You stop feeling alone in your difficulties and begin to see your challenges as part of the human experience. And that perspective strengthens you. Dedicating a few minutes a day may seem like little, but over the course of a year, it becomes hundreds of pages, dozens of concepts absorbed, more conscious decisions. And conscious decisions build solid lives. Include reading in your routine, not as a school obligation, but as mental training. Because a mind that expands thinks better. A mind that thinks better decides better. And the one who decides better builds a life that does not depend only on luck, but on clarity. 6. Do something difficult. If everything in your life were becoming more and more comfortable, would you be becoming stronger or more fragile? It's a question almost no one asks. We live in a time designed to eliminate effort. Apps that shorten processes, services that solve problems, products that promise to save you energy. The modern world works so that you never have to push yourself too hard, and that constant comfort is often confused with progress. But there is a silent side effect. When you rarely face resistance, little by little you lose confidence in your own strength. The problem is not comfort. The problem is needing it in order to function. Because human strength is not born from ease. It is born from friction, from the collision with difficulty. Seneca observed that a child who is used to having everything handed to them cries when they lose their spoon as if they had lost the world. Not because they are weak by nature, but because they were never trained to tolerate frustration. And we are not so different when we avoid any discomfort. Every time you run from something slightly complicated, you reinforce the idea that you cannot handle it. Every time you test yourself, you reinforce the opposite. That is the daily crossroads. It is not about seeking unnecessary suffering. It is about preserving your capacity. Marcus Aurelius wrote that we need to shake off the dust that accumulates on us in daily life. That dust is complacency, that almost invisible tendency to always choose what is most comfortable. And complacency weakens you slowly but surely. A body that is never challenged atrophies. A mind that is never pressured becomes fragile. A character that is never tested ends up depending on circumstances. That is why doing something difficult is not dramatics, it is maintenance. Ask yourself what today would demand a little more from you. Holding back irritation when someone insists on something obvious. Completing a workout harder than usual. Sitting in silence for a few minutes without reaching for your phone. Resisting an automatic impulse. Honoring the word you gave yourself, even when no one is watching. Those small decisions are like invisible weights. They strengthen your internal structure. And when you voluntarily choose a controlled discomfort, something changes. Discomfort stops being a threat and becomes a tool. You begin to discover that you can endure more than you thought. And the more you practice that, the less intimidating life's inevitable challenges become. Because the difficulty you choose trains you for the difficulty you cannot avoid. A mind accustomed only to pleasure wavers at any obstacle. A mind accustomed to facing small resistances builds stability. It is not extreme intensity that transforms someone. It is disciplined consistency. The Stoic practice here is simple. Choose something slightly uncomfortable and do it tomorrow. Repeat, then again. And over time, your limits stop looking like impossible walls and start looking like steps. Then you understand something essential. You were not weak. You were simply unaccustomed to demanding more from yourself. And the strength was always there, waiting to be trained. 7. Find stillness. Have you noticed how you can spend the entire day reacting and still not truly decide anything? Notifications, messages, opinions, demands, urgencies. The world calls you constantly, and when all your attention is outside, your mind does not rest. It only responds. And a mind that only responds never governs. The greatest risk of modern life is not external noise. It is losing your own inner voice. Stillness is not the absence of sound. It is inner authority. It is the point where you stop being dragged by stimuli and begin to choose your responses. Many artists, scientists, and thinkers have said that their best ideas appeared during unexpected pauses, silent walks, long baths, moments of contemplation. It was not in chaos that they found clarity, but in slowing down, because clarity needs space. The Stoics understood this with real depth. For them, tranquility was not a luxury or exaggerated sensitivity. It was a strategy. Marcus Aurelius governed an empire at war, surrounded by conflicts, betrayals, and hard decisions. And even so, he made time to write, reflect, and organize his own mind. He knew that without stillness, even power turns into confusion. Stillness is not escaping the world. It is preparing yourself to face it with clarity. And it begins when you learn to separate what depends on you from what does not. You do not control people's moods, traffic, the market, criticism, or unexpected events. But you do control the interpretation you make of all that. And that difference changes everything. Without that awareness, everything feels personal. Every opinion seems like a threat. Every difficulty feels like injustice. With that awareness, you filter, select, and decide. A mind without stillness lives in constant alarm mode. A mind trained for stillness chooses where to place its energy. And energy is life. Stillness does not mean apathy. It means emotional stability. It is like a deep lake. The surface may stir with the wind, but at the bottom, the water remains calm. That depth is built. How? With a few minutes of silence and conscious breathing, with reflective writing, with walks without your phone, with small daily rituals that bring you back to center. At first, it may feel uncomfortable. Silence brings hidden thoughts to the surface, fears, insecurities, worries. But precisely there, strength is born. Because when you observe your thoughts instead of merging with them, you realize that many are exaggerations, anticipations, or stories created by anxiety. And that realization takes away their power. A mind trained in stillness does not fall apart at the first problem. It is not dragged by every passing emotion. It remains steady when the environment becomes chaotic, because it does not react, it responds. Including moments of silence in your routine is not losing productivity. It is strengthening the foundation of your decisions. It is reducing impulsive mistakes. It is increasing your clarity. A life organized on the outside can collapse if inside there is constant turbulence. But when there is internal order, even difficult days are navigated with greater stability. Stillness is that, the space where you regain command. And the more you practice it, the more you notice something essential. You do not have to react to everything. You can choose. And it is in that silent choice that true strength begins. 8. Take responsibility for your own life. There is a huge difference between improving habits and taking responsibility. Improving habits means adjusting behaviors. Taking responsibility means changing the stance with which you face your own existence. As long as you continue believing that your situation is only the result of circumstances, there will always be an external factor to blame. Your job, the economy, your family, lack of time, the environment. And while the cause remains outside, the power will remain outside as well. The Stoics were radical on this point. Epictetus said that it is not events that disturb us, but the judgments we make about them. That does not mean denying that real difficulties exist. It means recognizing that even in the face of them, there is still something under your control, your response. Taking responsibility does not mean claiming that you caused everything that happened. It means affirming that you are responsible for what you will do from here forward. That shift may seem small, but it completely changes your energy. When you stop asking, "Why did this happen to me?" and start asking, "What can I do with this?" you move out of the position of victim and into the position of agent, and the agent builds. Without that stance, any routine plan becomes theory, because there will always be justifications for not following through. With that stance, even difficult days become raw material. Responsibility organizes life from the inside out. You begin to notice that if you are tired all the time, you need to adjust your rest. If you live distracted, you need to adjust your stimuli. If you are stuck, you need to review your decisions. It is not comfortable, but it is liberating. Marcus Aurelius governed an empire at war. He lost 8 of his 13 children, faced one of the most severe pandemics of his time, and yet in his meditations, you do not find long complaints against fate. You find constant reminders of duty, posture, and character. He did not control everything. but he controlled his attitude toward everything. And that is what closes the cycle of an organized routine. You can wake up early. You can work with depth. You can organize your mind by writing. You can train your body. You can read the great classics. You can cut out vices or seek stillness. But if, deep down, you still believe that your life depends more on others than on you, everything will remain unstable. Taking responsibility is the point where maturity begins. It is not a burden, it is freedom. Because the moment you accept that your response belongs to you, you regain power. And power is what sustains discipline, clarity, and direction. In the end, organizing your routine is only the beginning. The real work is organizing your posture toward life. And that only happens when you decide to stop outsourcing command. From that moment, everything moves. The world remains unpredictable, difficulties still exist, pressures do not disappear. But something essential reorders itself inside. You stop waiting for circumstances to align and begin aligning your posture. Marcus Aurelius wrote something that crosses centuries with the same force. You have power over your mind, not over external events. Realize this, and you will find strength. This is not a beautiful phrase. It is a structure for living. When you truly understand it, you stop wasting energy trying to control what cannot be controlled and start strengthening what was always within your reach. Your clarity increases. Your decisions become firmer. Your reactions become more conscious. And then an almost silent shift happens. You stop living on the defensive. Life stops being something that simply happens to you and becomes something you build from what happens. That is Stoic maturity. It is not the absence of problems. It is the presence of posture. In the end, organizing your routine was never just about schedules, habits, or discipline. It was always this: taking command of your own consciousness. Because the one who governs their own mind does not need the world to be calm in order to remain steady. If this content brought you clarity, if it connected with your life, then show that you are taking that command. Like it, share it with someone who needs to hear this, and write in the comments, "I take command." Because the moment you stop delegating your responsibility is the moment your life truly begins to gain direction. And from there, nothing is ever the same again. Thank you for watching.
With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out: Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.